Good morning, church. The message this morning is entitled The Power and the Mystery of the Resurrection in Our Lives. We begin with Mark 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Mary Magdalene, a disciple of Jesus. She is the woman from Magdala on the northern coast of the Galilean Sea. Mary, who is the mother of James the Lesser and Joseph, and not to be confused with Mary, who is also the mother of James and John. And Salome, who is also a disciple of Jesus and only mentioned in Mark's Gospel. They're on their way to the tomb and they are bringing spices. This clearly indicates that the burial of Jesus was somewhat rushed or at least abridged, that the preparation of his body for burial had not been made complete. They didn't have time before the Sabbath began to complete the work of embalming his body with aloes and spices. Due care for the corpse was a very important element of Judaism in this period. The women, having prepared the elements the night before, following the conclusion of the Sabbath at sundown, were ready for an early start. And Mark continues in verses 2 and 3. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Early on the Sunday morning, the day following the Sabbath, the women made their way towards the garden in which the burial tomb was located. On the way, the reality of the foreboding challenge confronts them. Who will shift that enormous stone away from the entrance? In other words, how on earth are we going to get in to do what we plan to do? I chuckle to myself when I read this. I've been in similar situations where I'm going to make a pastoral visit to in a desperately difficult situation, and I pray to God out loud, how on earth am I going to offer something meaningful to this person in the desperately sad circumstances that they are experiencing? God, where will I find the right words of compassion and hope without mouthing platitudes into what appears to be such a hopeless situation? Well, Mark provides the answer to their question in that God has preceded the women and has made a way for them. In Matthew's Gospel, the evangelist records an earthquake that caused the large stone to shift from the entrance of the tomb, enough to make an opening for people to enter in. Let's pause there. Such is the faithfulness of God. In the midst of what appears to be impossible circumstances, to make a way for us. To provide just the right words in a pastoral situation, to enable us to think differently about the challenge that's before us, and we see an alternative solution that we had previously been blind to. The experience of a gesture of grace and forgiveness when we anticipated that the other person would intensify our guilt and shame by holding unforgiveness over us, ensuring that we remain captive and enslaved to our self-loathing and deep regret. Surprisingly, God makes a way. Whatever the challenges may be that you and I are facing at this time, like the stone in front of that tomb, too enormous, large and difficult for three women to shift on their own, whatever the impossible may seem to be, God will make a way for us. Mark continues, "But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Now, concern over the stone had turned to shock. Who is this? Where is the body of Jesus? What's going on here? The messenger addresses them. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Their surprise and shock at seeing the stone rolled away gives way to a sense of fear about who this person was. Matthew describes him as an angel. In fact, in John's Gospel, there are two messengers. A word of assurance: don't be alarmed, the man in white says. Followed by the information that they were by now desperately seeking as to where the body of Jesus might be. He has risen, they are told. Look, this is where he was. See, this is the place where his body was laid, but it's no longer there. He has gone because he is alive, not dead as you had expected. The instruction to tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus will meet them in Galilee is very important. Firstly, Peter is singled out. It is crucial that Peter is told because he is still bearing the guilt and shame of having denied Jesus several evenings ago. But the news is for all of the disciples, that they would know that Christ is risen and will go before them into Galilee. Now the disciples ought not to be surprised by this, because we read in Mark 14, two chapters previously, that Jesus foretold them these words: but after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. But undoubtedly, the events of these past 72 hours have so muddled their brains, they probably hadn't recalled that that was what Jesus had said to them previously. Now, there is a different ending to this gospel. Some manuscripts have the following ending between verses 8 and 9, and one manuscript has it after verse 8 and omits completely verses 9 to 20. And it reads this way: the women, they quickly reported all these instructions to those around Peter. After this, Jesus himself also sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation, which is in contrast to the first ending that we read. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. You see, there were different versions of the same account of events, and it appears contradictory, but another early manuscript of Mark's Gospel provides a different description of the women's response. There is, in fact, a great deal of mystery that surrounds the resurrection of Jesus. Human thought and language struggle to join the dots and make perfect sense of this whole event. However, what we do know is that God's miraculous power was at work in this divine human event. And the power of the Spirit of God to raise Jesus from death to life is that very same power that is available to us in the living of our ordinary and everyday lives. So let us not be afraid of the mystery, but allow ourselves to rest in that uncomfortable place of not understanding, not being able to reconcile the logical, rational, scientific processes of thought and reasoning, and at the same time allow our faith to be tested, stretched, turned inside out and upside down. Surely this mystery has consumed hours upon hours of theological thought and explanation. You and I are not expected to solve the riddle or to resolve the puzzle, but to wrestle with that mystery, to allow it to remain for us in the context of our faith, some aspects of not knowing and not understanding. Furthermore, I invite you to contemplate the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. On this Easter day, I challenge you to ask the question of yourself, who is really in the place of authority in my life? Do I choose to live in and under the authority of Jesus Christ, submitting my will to his in every aspect of my life? Or is mine a convenient faith in which I turn to Christ only in desperate or difficult circumstances, only when I need just a bit of extra help? We have three young people who are about to publicly declare their faith in Christ through baptism and confirmation. My prayer for each one of us is that in their witness, we would be inspired to press deeper into God, to recognise our complete dependence upon Christ, and to invite the Holy Spirit to fill our lives with the power and capacity to grow into the fullness of all that God has created and called us to be. For Christ is risen. His power is real. The mystery remains. Let us live in hope and faith as an inspiration and encouragement to one another. In the name of Christ, Amen.